It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We're not afraid because, I don't know, we understand what's coming, at least a little bit. You know, if you hear the rumbling, the train, I see the light, I'm going to step to the left or right, get off the track. You know, I just say, boom, let it go by and plow everybody else, do the cattle, you know, grade on the front and go plowing through the whatever, and I'm over here. I'm good. Find a safe place, get some high ground, something, get a perspective. You know, I don't got to go fight and beat and take a lance and tilt at windmills or locomotives or whatever. I just first got to understand what it is that's going on. And it became clear to me early on. There was an article I wrote in 94 as a young man called Legitimacy of Government. If you put Ernest Hancock, Legitimacy of Government, or lack thereof, you know, it'll come up somewhere on the internet. And it started coming back to me years later, like 5-6 years later after I put it out, because there's a guy named Frederick Mann. Mark Stevens knew who he was. I didn't know who he was. And he had taken it, and he asked me if he could use that conversation I had on an email list one time, a right to keep and bear arms list. And somebody was going, yeah, but we need the Constitution and all this kind of stuff to have legitimacy. Whoa. Where'd that come from? I mean, you know, so I had this conversation. He said, could he put it up? And I go, well, it's before spell checker and grammar and all that. I go, well, you know, clean it up a little bit, you know, make sure I don't look too stupid. So, you know, and you can put it up. Well, you know, so he made me sound a lot smarter than I was. But the basic concept was there. And it was this. Legitimacy of anything, any influence that you have on you comes at a deeper root level of our humanity, of our being brought up, of the way human beings are hardwired, you know, of the way we're raised, grandparents, what they have to say, you know, the influences we have from, you know, movies, you know, listening to this show, whatever. And usually it's at a very young age. Because, and once you get truth, I mean, once you hear the truth, it's very difficult to unlearn it. That's why you have people, they use a spiritual path into your mind, plucking at a truth string that resonates through your being to be able to get you to accept a whole new way of life. You've been born again. And that can happen not just with Christianity or any other religion, or it's just an epiphany. It's just a realization of truth. It can even happen more than once. I've seen it happen a lot. I see it happen a whole lot with the Lovelution. I've seen it with these young kids, man. All this gobbledygook, just force-fed, man. They're like, seriously? You know, I'm supposed to watch, you know, MTV and get Rock the Vote. That's my truth. That's the base. That feeds into accurate. Seriously, that's it. That's all you got? No. That's why Dr. Paul's thing was so popular. You got this 70-something-year-old guy that's a congressman from nowhere or anybody ever heard of, and he has all these young people that are following him around like a rock star, speaking the same language, being supportive. Why? Did you even add? You know, everybody's, you know what happened? They don't understand why. They don't address the why because they can't comprehend it. Because even answering that question, why, totally dismantles the house of cards that everything else was built on. You stay right there. I'm going to explain it to you in this longer segment. And, maybe we'll plant some truth.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. You know, we're going to be working on this. I got the Sierra producer. She's going to be checking on a bunch of stuff. This sent us off into a lot of areas. One, I can see the use of the internet as being, you know, it's a battlefield, you know, both sides. And it really caught the big bad guys by surprise. They were, wow, they had no idea the power of an idea. You know, ideas whose time has come is, you know, and the reason it's time has come is because it's so lacking and necessary at the same time. When you have something, you got, you know what, I got a lot of mice all over the place and somebody comes up with a really cool mouse trap, guess what? There's a whole bunch of mouse traps get bought. Now, that's just the way it is. You got a lot of problems in society and somebody comes up with an idea that's a solution that's been around, that's proven, that was there. Hello, it's been masked, it's been behind the curtain, they've held it off, they suppressed it, they do. All of a sudden, once it explodes into the front, it's an overnight thing. This is why you always hear me say, a lot of people don't understand a lot of the stuff that I say. I don't get it, Ernie, you know, but they will. I know this because it happened to me. It'll happen to you. It will not happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. That phrase really sums up what I see is coming in so many different ways. Of course you're going to see the signs or whatever. You're not going to understand a lot of things. You're not going to understand the ramifications of, you know, the Gulf of Mexico is a cesspool. You're not going to understand the ramifications of, you know, all the screaming about, you know, climate. You're not going to understand the ramifications of death, dying, and destruction over and whatever and this and that and the economy and everything. You know, you're not going to understand until all of a sudden, overnight, it all starts to come into focus. There's a common theme. There's a common thread. There's a common effort. And the one thing that I really started to realize is that they are having not to convince you anymore. That's not really working. It's too difficult. They're having problems getting you to think what they want you to think. It's not working. When their whole system, their whole base of legitimacy is on the promise of. You have the promise that government makes, and then you have the reality. And as time passes, that gap gets further and further and further and further until reality is so far removed from the promise or even the promise of the threat that would happen if you didn't support them. It gets so far that when you say things like, and I've been saying this for years, you're an anarchist, Ernie. You're anti-government, don't love America, anarchist. As if loving America had anything to do with freedom or humanity or people or my family or neighbors or this country or the world or human beings that want to breathe in and out, as if, you know, America had anything to do with that. It was the promise. And at one time, you might be able to make an argument, but it's gotten so far from that to where they'll say, Ernie, you're just an anarchist. Compared to what? What we got now? You mean if I didn't have this government continually further indebting me and my children and grandchildren, you know, further, more, at a greater speed, guaranteed hyperinflation, doing it? You mean like that? Wars and threat of wars and entangling alliances? You mean like that? Illegitimate government based on filling the freaking 15 gazillion reasons? You mean like that? Like that? Like that? What's your other side? We're going to reconstitute the Constitution? We got to bring it back. You know, this thing that, you know, if it didn't, you know, cause it, it sure as heck didn't prevent it. Okay? Let's do that again. How about not? How about, you know, Articles of Confederation? Let's go back to that. That's what the first thing right after the Declaration of Independence was anyway. You even know it existed? Do you understand what it even said? Do you know what it did? Do you know why the collectivist bad guy Hamilton London Bank wanted to get rid of it and put it in the Constitution? Do you know why? Did you even look? Do you even have that implanted? Was that idea, the inception, that search of truth, that knowledge ever even in your brain? By whom? Government schools? Why would they avoid such an important part of our history? Why? Why? Did you ever even ask the question? They had History Channel, The Story of Us. Okay, I'm interested. This would be cool. I think it was like a first episode. You know, they go in, they go, yeah, blah, 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 Revolution, George Washington, boom, he's first president. And he went right from there. I'm going, whoa, what the heck just happened to years of the Articles of Confederation and how that came about and who did it and wrote it and people. And then you got the Constitution had like 180 degrees to do with Declaration. And then you got, you know, what? What? The inception of an idea. What must be prevented? What must be extracted? What you must not be exposed to is a continuation of a concept and how it was bastardized. It was overwritten. It was taken out. It was extracted from history. Why do you even ask the question? Why? Why? Oh, does that mean work? You know, if somebody doesn't have a ready, snappy answer for you, you might have to go look yourself. Oh, the pain. You know, you don't even have to go to the library. It's on the freaking internet. You know, snap, 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 man. Let's do it. Rock and roll. Ain't your mama? You know, we'll do Declaration. We'll do Articles of Confederation. I tell you, we have one of the speakers, William Buport, that at the Freedom Summit, and he spoke, and I did a lot of this at the Freedom Fest, and he's been on air here. We have two shows, archive shows, that we did just on this issue. And he's an expert. He writes for Lou Rockwell a lot on the Articles of Confederation and why they had to get rid of it and what the reasons were. The Hologram of Liberty by Boston Tea Party, Kenneth Royce, and his pen name, Boston Tea Party, Hologram of Liberty, the history of the actual Declaration and Articles of Federation, Constitution, why, who, when, where, do you even care? Are you already just sweeping it away? You know, is it just work? You just want to, you know, America, MK America? I don't even understand what the heck you're talking about. Because what do they have to do? They, them, those. Or those that just want to be left alone, those won't leave them alone. You know, this is how I've been in Ray, I've been in politics, and you go, when they, and they go, they, who's they? I don't know, not me, not us. You know, advocates for freedom. I don't know what you want me to say. You know, so okay, let me tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone. Those won't leave them alone. That's who they are. Which one are you? Which one are you? Yes, whoa. You know, this time I didn't run for office this year. I could have. I had up until Thursday to decide, but I just couldn't. I don't see any benefit anymore. You know, we can use the political process to have fun here. We're still, we're making signs and putting, we're injecting the message. But it's not them. It's not, the more outside of it we are, the better. You get this malaise kind of set in. They know it. They're going, hey, well, nobody cares. You got to care what we have. This. I watched, I think it was like 6 or 7 episodes of this one long, I guess, hour and a half debate between John McCain and J.D. Hayworth. And I put it up on Freedom's Phoenix this weekend. And it had this other guy named, I can't remember, Deacon, you know, the third guy. He kicked their butt. This guy just signed, he goes, whoa, this Constitution thing, man. And he would take half as much time to answer as the other guy's droning on about whatever. But they're always cutting him up. Oh, your time's up. Oh, he gets half the time or something. It's so obvious, you know. And then they have this clean election thing, right? The arguments over the years has been, well, the libertarians don't get the debates and all this kind of stuff because you don't have competition. There's no primary. There's nobody running against you. Well, in 2002, okay, fine. We had two guys running against. It doesn't matter anyway. Now it's 4 guys running or something, or 5 or whatever it was for a libertarian thing. Barry Hess, you know, one, you know, been running as a libertarian for years and, you know, well known as a libertarian. These other guys that, well, I've been a libertarian since March and it was easy to get on the ballot and I'm running. Okay, same kind of crap. So what happens is he gets up there, slaps him around, and so on. But, you know, they're still going, all right, we'll go ahead and have your clean election mandated by law since you have ballot status and you're the 3-party system here now. You're equal with, you know, whatever because of voter registration and you got all blah, blah, blah. But we're going to have you get half the time the Republicans and Democrats do. Your debate is half. Really? Based on what? Is that what the law says? No, it doesn't matter. They don't want, you know, heck, you're lucky you got as much as you did. They do not want the ideas to penetrate, to be available for you to have even this, because what they do started to realize over the last few years, because it's more difficult, if not impossible, to change your mind, they just have to convince you that all your neighbors are stupid, that they don't know better, that they are the ones that voted. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you knew. Okay, we'll give you that. You probably, yeah, you know, but, you know, we're pushing the idea that the rest of the planet is too stupid to know better. They didn't know. They weren't informed. They want more government. They hate freedom. They, you know, blah, 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 fill in the blank. There's a bunch of workers that work for the government. They want to get, they just have to convince you that everybody else is dumb. What if you come into this thinking, I don't think they are? And most of them aren't even voting. Then what? Is there any legitimacy left in the system? When does it stop being legitimate? It's in your head.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Yeah, the end of the first Matrix, very powerful scene. You know, this is what I got from Inception. That's why I wanted to, you know, bring all this up and share this with you, because I'm going to be using this a lot. And I already have. It's like, you know, it's just another good example of what I've been trying to say for a long time is this. If you can plant at the base of an individual's personality, humanity, truth, axioms, understanding, if you can do that, it will affect everything for the rest of their lives. It will determine the decisions they make, who they marry, who they associate with, what kind of businesses they operate, who they work for, you know, who they vote for, if they vote at all. This is something that governments have been contending with since forever. I mean, even they go into war, they find that, you know, combat troops, they just couldn't kill people. You know, there would be a small percentage of those actually aim, put a man in their sights, and pull the trigger and kill him. I mean, it took, you know, they lots of different kind of training, man. They got to brainwash you into kill, 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 kill. It's automatic kill. Then they want you to go back in humanity, you know, in the society and be human, you know, and take, you know, this is not going to be good. What we have on Freedom's Phoenix today, you know, the a story today, we had the most military suicides in a month, just this last month. So I'm wow. You know, and this is like Army suicides hit record number in June. 32 soldiers took their own lives last month, the most Army suicides in a single month since the Vietnam era. So we are creating, you know, problems, but they have to do all the stuff that they're doing just to maintain any semblance of some kind of a control. But they're losing it, and they will get desperate. They, them, those won't leave us alone. So what's the power the other way? Exactly what we've been doing. Freedom's answer, what's the question? Revolution with love. Love. Where is the love? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I like that one. In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets messy first. Still voting. I mean, all of these bumper stickers, these catchphrases, these T-shirts and so on that we do, the signs that we put out, the penetrating into the matrix, that's why they're shutting down 79,000 WordPress sites. That's why they're stripping Facebook of all the references to the Gadsden flag, don't tread on me. That's why they're going after sites like Alex Jones stuff. That's why. Obama deception, they had a campaign to make Obama deception one of the top searched for Obama. You know, you put in, they had a campaign going on making that one of the top searches. You know, you put it out, boom, it comes up. It has the video online. So what'd they do? they go in and they go, you know what? We're deleting the top ones that have that come up. And he said, you know, done. It's not there anymore. Have a nice day. Sucks to be you. So I am very, very aware that they're aware. But do they understand it? Do they see something that's really going to have an impact? Yes. The movie Inception gave me an awareness of something that I've already known, just another tool for me to explain it to you. In the next larger segment, I'm going to do that. I can see what has to be done. I can see the steps that they've taken to do it. So have you. You just need to be reminded of it in the context of what their ultimate goal is. Your acquiescence, your cooperation, your non-opposition. You see it in politics here. They know better than to come up and want me to be their buddy and so on and say, oh, Ernie, we need you to, you know, support this guy. He's not as bad as this scumbag politician, so we're going to get the lesser of scumbag. And they don't even play that game. I mean, they have for something. Every now and then somebody will come up and somebody in one of the parties or something tell them, you went and talked to a show fan. You're messed up forever now because you listen to them. What happens, what they do, though, is they want to make sure that we are not made an enemy. That's why you have things like concealed carry being passed here in Arizona. They constantly got targeted on that. Constantly. I mean, hardcore. You don't even get to talk to us unless you get a color photograph. Before you even speak a word at the podium, you have to have a color photograph taken of you holding a battle rifle, a detachable magazine with a pistol grip, and it's black and ugly and folding stock and all kinds of nasty. You don't do that, just you don't even bother us. So they had to get rid of this gun issue thing, man. I mean, you know, this was just a thorn in their side. Of course, we'll come up with something else. But, you know, this is this, and you can manufacture whatever here. I mean, they got to take this gun issue off the table in politics here in Arizona. Why? Because they were always more worried about our opposition to them than they were ever worried about any support they get from us. Because we couldn't afford to compete for the pleasure that all these special interests had plenty of money for. But the pain was cheap. Pain, all about the pain. The pain was people seeing them for what they were.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Freeze it.
What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
You won't have to. It's an idea. An idea. An idea is bulletproof. V for Vendetta. What do you say? Ideas are bulletproof, as he's, you know, giving it to the bad guy. Ideas are bulletproof. This is the threat. I give you a piece of news today, kind of walk us into this. Top Chinese economists call for government to ditch U.S. treasuries and buy gold. Let's go ahead and take a look at the treasuries today. See, the treasuries are the United States government's, you know, begging for money. Okay, please, please, we need more, give us some. And based on the availability of other investments that they perceive to be safe, you know, it'll a lot of times determines the treasuries and what their interest rate they have to pay on it. The more damage that you see the U.S. dollar, the higher the interest rate they have to pay. And beginning of the Reagan administration in the early 80s, it went up to like 15-16% or something. It was stupid. You know, I mean, it just went way up there. Heck, the fact that we were even willing to sell treasuries at that is just, oh my goodness, you know, long-term payoff on that. That's bad. 30 years. So is that about done on those? Yeah, they're due. They got to be rolled over. All those they bought them at 15%, somebody made some cash. 15%, 30-year treasuries. Oh, somebody made some bank on that. Well, now what are they at now? Let's go take a look. Click on 30-year treasury. And now the interest rate has gone down to below 4%. You know, it's 3.97. Well, it's been below 4% for, I don't know, at least about a month, 3 weeks. And this is why. Why are people buying United States Treasury bonds with only half of the interest rate that they're getting nailed with in inflation? They're losing money by buying U.S. Treasuries because of inflation. The interest rate isn't even keeping up with inflation. And the fact that they're creating all this gazillions of dollars, trillions more in debt anyway, puts more money into the system that makes inflation even greater. Why would they? Because perceived value or stability, or where else am I going to put the money? I got something. Or they got laws or policies that, you know, coerce them into doing whatever, you know. But I'll tell you know, the Chinese, they don't care. They're starting to divest. A former advisor to the Chinese Central Bank, an influential economist, has called for his nation to diversify away from U.S. Treasury holdings. This comes after China cut its U.S. Treasury holdings by $32.5 billion in May, just May. Although assets in other currencies and forms are not an ideal replacement for U.S. Treasury bonds, that's why, you know, euro and other, they're just as bad or worse. That's why people are, you know, flooding into the U.S. Treasury. They think it might last at least a couple of weeks longer while they try and get something. Is there even physical gold out there to be had? That's the problem. You think they would just go ahead and get gold and silver, especially as it goes down now. Well, heck, the fact that it's being manipulated down, you know, now is like, well, heck, that's time to get it if you can find it. Can they? I don't know. Diversification should be a basic principle, you wrote in the China Securities Journal. When demand for U.S. Treasury securities is strong, it's a rare opportunity, meaning, oh my goodness, it may never happen again, for us to gradually pull back. That way, it will not have a big impact on prices, and China will not suffer too much. Here it comes. While the demand for the U.S. dollar is high, the people are taking their money from whatever else they perceive to be in worse shape and buying U.S. treasuries, even at half, you know, the interest rate that they're going to get charged with just inflation, you know, they're losing money by having them. But at least they're thinking that they're saving their principal. They can negotiate these away. Well, who's selling them to them? Who's buying them? In addition to the actual Treasury doing it and the Federal Reserve and all that kind of stuff, China's like, here, I got them. They're right here. Take them. Give you a deal. Smoking deal. Got to step right up, folks. Get them cheap. Cheap, 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 cheap. Well, what happens when people don't buy the U.S.-issued ones? Well, the Fed does. It's called monetizing the debt. They're putting it on the taxpayers here. You know, future generations. Well, at least we used to be able to say, hey, well, China's going to suffer. You know, let the poor little children there suffer. You know, yeah, what, not our problem. Well, now what's happening? When they're divesting themselves of all of this, goes into who's buying them. So this is inevitable. This is here it comes, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's baked in the cake. It's already done. It's already made. It already happened. You're just getting the results of it. You know, so here we go. Inception of an idea from birth. This is the point this whole show is to make. I understood a long time ago that it was a battle for my mind. How many minds can we free? You hear me say that all the time. What does that mean? Just to understand the truth. What's that? That you own yourself. And if you don't, somebody else does. Now, that may be okay with you, but I mean, you know, I just, you know, there are some of us that go, I own me. I'm just FYI, you know, you don't get to just, you know, use me as your slave, you know, without me complaining. I mean, I'll fight my battles wherever I fight my battles, but the first battle I got to fight, the very first one that people avoid, they ignore. They just want you to go straight to, you know, militia training, gun-toting, doing kind of whatever without even winning the first battle. The realization that you own yourself. Until then, the rest of it's just a waste of time. It's just social networking. It doesn't mean anything. You know, all the other stuff comes, you may choose to fight for your life and your mind, you know, another way. You know, that's fine. That's cool. I don't even really care. You know, it's you're going to come up to whatever and creative and diverse ways of, you know, doinking the man, you know, be my guest. But you own yourself or somebody else does. How do they get that concept into your head that you don't? Or that someone else does, or you're ruled by. Where does that happen? Think about some of the examples. They christen children in many faiths as infants at birth. You're baptized, christened, immersed, whatever the heck, you know, from or indoctrinated, you got it, this is that, you know, and then, but still, people resist, people leave. People find something, you know, there must be a very low primal place that you, layers of subconscious and the mind and all this Freudian stuff and his nephew that came here, what was his name? That doesn't matter. You go and you look up on freedomsphoenix.com, you go to the special editions on the horizontal navigation bar up there and it'll say Ernie's Favorites. That special edition, Ernie's Favorites, you go in there, it's like a Freedom's Phoenix copy, but it's just, you know, stuff that I put up there as reference. I think it's easy for me to send you to them. And one of them is The Century of the Self, The Century of Self. It was a BBC thing, and it had how, you watch that series and you're just, wow. You know, it's how they used all this propaganda and where the term public relations came from and these focus groups and all that kind of stuff to get you to think a certain way, to get you to be something, to get you to be, you know, influenced by how much leg and cleavage is shown to get to buy that Ford Thunderbird because it's going to get you laid. I mean, that's what it was all about. It was emotional, you know, plucking of your that cord in your head that, you know, it's either fear or it's acceptance, or it's lust, or it's whatever. They're just, you know, primal cords in there. If they can pluck those, they can control your behavior. And one of the most powerful ones is fear. I watched, Invictus or something like that last night. I just did the Dish Rent thing. You know, first time I even did that, I just kind of, oh, you can do this. All right, fine. So I did. And Invictus, what it's about, South Africa, you know, Mandela comes in and he, you know, blah blah blah, it's about the rugby team and how he brought in, I fell asleep before the end of it, but the one line in there was point, he was the South Africans, they hated their own rugby team, they always rooted for whoever else was playing them because it was a white thing, you know. So they're thinking, you know, Congress gets together, they're going to pass a law. I can't have these guys anymore. They're going to call them something else, change the colors, whatever. And Mandela goes, no, 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 no. Let them have their, you know, that's what they feared from us to begin with. No, we need to, you know, come together and, yeah, and this is one thing that's really important to them and we can use it as a political decision. That's what this movie was all about. And the one thing that he said, he goes, you got to forgive. You know, don't be vindictive. You know, we win, man. We're here. I'm president. We got to include everybody. We got to meld. We got to allow them to have their fun and enjoy it with them, whatever. And the powerful weapon that he was using is called forgiveness. And he said, and I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but he said, forgiveness is what allows you to start healing your own soul. You know, it's not about them. It's not about justice. You know, forgiveness is a powerful weapon because it allows you to heal. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. There will come a time that we're going to need to forgive. There will come a time that, that's why you always hear me say, hey, man, you know, there's going to be guillotine lines. There are people going to get lined up. There's going to be Nuremberg trials. There's going to be something. There's going to be justice. People are going to want to hand out some justice. And I'm like, look, my main thing, I don't want to be in the line. I'm just, you know, hey, I didn't do it. You know, there's bad guys over there. And I definitely don't want to be the guy pulling the lever. You may even have me advocating for not pulling the lever. Because we just need to inoculate ourselves against them with the truth. And this is how they're doing it. You have to have, at a young age, government schools. You have to get them at first grade to start indoctrinating them with blah, 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 blah. But my first memories come from when I was probably like 3. You know, I remember, you know, certain things in my life. When I was, you know, really young, my little sister was just born and so on. My younger sister, I had 2 younger sisters. And I remember these things, you know, kind of pop up in my head. I remember mom and dad and what was and wasn't, you know, acceptable. I remember my grandmother, you know, good and bad and all that kind of stuff way before I started school at 6 years old. They didn't have kindergarten when I started school in the mid-60s. I was born in 61. Then it became, by the time, I guess it was part of the Lyndon Johnson administration where we got to indoctrinate the children more or something, that kindergarten became part of public education. I remember my little sister, she got to go to kindergarten. Ooh, kindergarten. Kindergarten was a freaking German name, you know, kinder meaning kid, garden meaning, I don't know, garden, whatever it is, kindergarten. So kindergarten comes in, you know, it's like right out of the Nazi playbook. I mean, you know, I mean, okay, I guess we'll do that, you know. So you have kindergarten starts. My sister starts going through that. Years go by. Then you got Head Start. Well, kindergarten wasn't enough. You know, you got to get them earlier. We're going to do a Head Start thing. We're going to Head Start them in the whatever. You know, and these government mandatory youth indoctrination camps, they're saying, you know, government bad? No. Now, it's all Pledge of Allegiance and all this other stuff, which was started by a socialist Bellamy. Now, this is all part of this indoctrination into a collective. Now, here in Arizona, the last few years before Janet Napolitano, you know, head of our Gestapo, all right? Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security, I mean, that's, heck, you know, the Homeland. I mean, you know, these guys, they're not even original. I mean, they just come up with the same crap. A friend of mine, Kent Van Cleve, took a bunch of posters from Nazi Germany and he updated them. You know, we have a lot of them we use in a lot of our graphics and so on. It'll have some, you know, the eagle, this kind of, you know, poster thing, and, you know, compliance is freedom, or, you know, love, war is love, or something. I mean, it's some stupid stuff they're trying to, you know, indoctrinate and, you know, plant the seed in your mind. So that's what it's all propaganda. And with film and color film and all that, oh, Hitler, man, he had it going on. He understood this well. And did he really understand it? Who did? Was there a playbook somewhere somebody gave him? Was it a secret handshake guys for millennia that had accumulated and whatever, and this is how you get the whatever, you know, here's how you do it? Was that? You know, would it surprise me? No. Do I know? I don't care. Doesn't matter. It had the same effect anyway throughout time. You know, is it something we relearn, or is it just a little playbook? Well, now it doesn't matter because the internet, pretty much you can just see everything there anyway. So that gives us some inoculation. You're just understanding what's going on. So keep in mind, mandatory government, you know, and they didn't have, you know, higher education. You're mandated to go to college, or you're mandated high school, or you're mandated junior high or whatever. No, you're mandated at a young age. You're going from 6 years old to 8th grade. You know, first, 8th grade, remember, or 6th grade it used to be. Then they expanded it. Then they make it younger and younger. Well, let me tell you what Janet Napolitano did here in Arizona. It may scare you a little bit. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock. Oh, yeah.
Your smile speaks books to me. Break up. Religion.
You know, if I could make you smile, if I could only reach you, if, well, that's what the bad guys want to do. I give you an example. We're talking about, you know, I could see this coming. It was just, you know, yep, here we go, here we go, here we go. It was when Janet Napolitano, being a governor at the time, there was, I'm like, wow, what is there? What? They want to be babysitter from birth? Well, here we have, you know, Arpaio sitting out in front of, you know, the maternity wards, you know, getting people, is that an anchor baby? Where's your ID? You know, this is, they want you to control at birth. You know, you got to get a Social Security number. You got to, you know, get indoctrinated at, you know, when? When do they, you got to go to the government healthcare thing. They're going to start, you know, giving you the right kind of injections or vitamins or whatever before your baby is even born. Then immediately certain injections when they are. Then get them, boom, get them into the class. This is May 1st, 2006. This is when Janet Napolitano was still governor in Arizona. Proposals for universal preschool and all-day kindergarten, which they did here in Arizona. Okay, Arizona already did it. All right, we got it. Here we go. Proposals for universal preschool and all-day kindergarten are an increasingly popular policy solution for everything from low academic achievement to reducing crime to lowering the dropout rate. In summer 2005, a national task force co-chaired by Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano called for $8 billion annually in federal support for preschool. Similarly, in his 2006 response to President Bush's State of the Union speech, Virginia Governor Tim Kaine acknowledged universal preschool as a silver bullet to help create a better future for the United States. Kaine said there's a better way. Many states are working to make high-quality pre-kindergarten accessible to every family at any cost. Why? To plant in the minds of human beings the inception of an idea that they can't get any other way. They haven't been able to. Truth will trump BS every time, and we keep expanding. Our humanity leaks out, expresses itself, escapes from between the fingers of the fist of tyranny. It always has, it always will, until they can fundamentally change us with whatever, chemicals, hardwiring, surgery, you know, flashing lights and sounds and muting subliminal, whatever the heck it takes. And this movie Inception brought out the concept that I could recognize. Of course they're doing. Of course they need to get at the lowest conscious, subconscious level of us to plant an idea, some kind of a concept that will help sweep away all the truths of what makes us human, to think independently, autonomously, to be free, to advocate for being left alone, and understanding that it's not bad to leave other people alone. This whole concept is expressed in this movie. That's why I see it as being very popular. It's going to be used in a lot of different ways. And it highlights just the gargantuan effort of those that would turn a human being into a battery for the machine, how desperate they are to plant in us at the deepest level possible the idea, the inception of the idea that we don't own ourselves. Just keep an eye out for it.